Find, if you would, in your Bibles today, Genesis, very first book of the Bible. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you, black hardcover book. Please feel free to pick it up. Find the book of Genesis. If you're unfamiliar with your way around the Bible is broken up into chapter and verse. You should be able to see very easily the chapters there. If you'd find the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis. If you wanted to also find the 28th chapter, that may save you a little bit of time here in a moment. But Genesis chapter number 35. If you do not have a Bible, maybe somebody would loan you one if they have an extra one. But I really would love for you to be able to see God's Word today. Say, Pastor, is the Bible really God's Word? My friend, it is God's Word, and worthy of our attention, and worthy of our trust, and worthy of our sight. If you would find verse number 1 of the 35th chapter, I'll begin my reading. The Bible says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there." I want you to remember that phrase, go up to Bethel and dwell there. "And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother." Ever since you were a kid, if you've been in church, you've heard the story of Jacob and Esau. You understand that Jacob was kind of a mama's boy, and Esau was kind of a mighty man, a hunter, and Esau was the firstborn, and Jacob came out second. And you understand that the birthright by Jewish custom was designed to go to Esau, but God wanted it to go to Jacob, and God would have brought it to Jacob. But you know that Jacob lived up to his name, for his name meant supplanter, trickster, conniver, sneak. And so he did all of those things to Esau and stole Esau's birthright for a bowl of porridge. We know that story. You know how after that Esau wanted to kill Jacob, his own brother. So that may have refreshed your memory if you'll go back to verse number 2. "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went," referring to the troubles he had with Esau. "And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand." Remember those words, strange gods. I'm going to come back to those in a moment. "And all their earrings." Pastor, I didn't know earrings was in the Bible. There it is. "And all their earrings which were in their ears," where earrings ought to be, in my opinion, I guess. Nowadays, who knows where you put earrings, but anyway, I've been on vacation. Give me a moment to get back in the groove of this thing, okay? It's kind of like driving that snowmobile. We got on that snowmobile. I was all trying to brag to Beverly, get on this thing, let's go. Man, I hit the hammers, I got on that field, and we were stuck. I buried that thing going around a corner, buried in about thigh-deep snow. She said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "You're going to get out and dig." She said, "Well, what do you mean?" So we got out digging. She said, "Don't ask me if I'm having fun right now." We had fun later, but we dug out of there. All right, let's get back. Earrings, which were in their ears. "And Jacob hid the earrings, and he hid the strange gods under the oak, which was by Shechem. And they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel." Bethel means house of God. El Bethel means the God of the house of God. "When he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. She was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called that name there that you have in your Bible. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of another place there in the Bible." And the last three words of verse number 9 was what? And he did what? He blessed him. I'm preaching a message today entitled, A A clean start and a clear goal. A clean start and a clear goal. There is nothing like being clean. Have you ever been so filthy, dirty that all you look forward to is that shower or that hot tub or that spa or that bath or that bar of soap or whatever it takes for you to get clean? There is nothing physically better than being clean. We were in Northern Michigan. Beverly's one of seven children. Her dad pastors up there, and all the family came home. And so, I don't know, there was about 3 million cousins that came into that house. There was more than I could count. But here's how it works up there. When all the cousins come home, we never see them. They've got land to run around on. They had snowmobiles. We saw them to fed them. And of course, if they ran out of gas, they didn't have any money to buy gas. And so we'd have to fill those up. So for the first 2 or 3 days, things were going great. About day number 4, all the kids came in on us for breakfast time, and we began to notice a little bit of odor that came into the house. And if you can imagine, 20 kids that hadn't seen, when's the last time you took a shower? Well, back in Florida, it's time to get in that shower. Nothing like being clean. How many cleaned your house this week, threw out junk you hadn't used for the last year? How many have already planned a garage sale coming up here in the near future? I got home, got the bags in, got home about 11:30 New Year's Eve night, watched the ball drop, stayed up till 12:02, went to bed, woke up, and began to be ordered about cleaning the house. And so we began it. And Beverly started in the kids' room and started with her toys. If you haven't touched it in a year, it goes out of here. And so they fought for their toys. And then she came into my closet for my toys. And I said, touch it, and ye shall surely die. And that was about it. All right. Woman has the whole house. I got one little John Wayne box. That's all I have. You've heard about John Wayne before. Nothing like a good fresh start. Nothing like a good clean house. Nothing like being physically clean. But understand this, preacher boy. According to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7, there is nothing like the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all our sin. There's no greater cleansing than to be spiritually clean. In our text, we find a man very much in need of a clean start and a clear goal. The man's name is Jacob, and I tried to give you a little of the background of Jacob. You know that Jacob was a deceitful man by his own nature. You know that he tricked Esau. You know that he was a mama's boy. He was kind of a feminine kind of guy, and he wasn't much hair on his body, and he kind of stayed with mom. And Esau was the picture, I guess, that you would call of masculinity. And Jacob was more of a schemer and a conniver. And Esau was the kind of guy, he's just going to punch you in the face, not stab you in the back, but just going to slit your throat, and there you go, and you're going to be dead. He was that kind of man. And you know, the promise of God was to Abraham that in Abraham's seed, all the world would be blessed. Well, Abraham's seed went to Isaac, and you know, God blessed Isaac. Isaac had two sons, and God continued the seed line through Jacob. And Esau resented that and hated that. And you know that Jacob tricked Esau out of his birthright. You know he had to flee. And then Jacob went to Laban. You know, he went over there to live with his wife's brother, or what's soon to be his wife, but his mother's relative there. And he gets over there and he's working. And you know the story, how he sees a beautiful girl, Rebecca, walk by, and he says, I'd like to marry that girl. You remember when you saw your wife walk by and you're like, I'd like to marry. Preacher, I can't remember that far back. We'll pretend for our service here. And Laban said, I'll tell you what, buddy. You want my daughter? Work 7 years for me and I'll give you my daughter. So Jacob works 7 years and he's in love, and those 7 years seem like 7 days, and they had a big wedding ceremony. They went into the honeymoon and they made the marriage proper there. And in the morning, the Bible says, and I don't know how this all comes about, but in the morning when Jacob rolls over and he's expecting to see Rachel there, Rebecca there, he sees Leah there. And Laban had tricked him and not given him the younger daughter that he wanted. Instead, he gave him his older daughter. And Jacob kind of got what was coming to him. And so The next time, he works seven more years, and then he does get the love of his life in that capacity. But Jacob lived a life of trickery and deceivery. And if you wanted to come to Genesis chapter 35, I'll give you a little bit of text of where he is. This man's in a mess. He's in a huge mess. The mess is really his own fault. But if you look at chapter 34, and if you look at verse number, let's just for time's sake, look at verse number 25. And the Bible says, and it came to pass on the third day when they were sore that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. Now, preacher, why would two of Jacob's sons kill all the males in this city? Well, the men of this city, their king or their leader, had violated their sister. And he had taken advantage of her and forced himself upon her. And so the sons, the dad didn't do anything about it. So the sons devised this plan. You know the custom of circumcision for the Jewish man. And so the city wanted to make a pact. And so the son said, if you will place all your men under the knife and let them go through this procedure, then they will be as one of us and a bond will form. Well, once those men went under that procedure and they were recuperating from that and they did not have any strength, in the middle of the night, two of Jacob's sons took a sword. And while those men were laying on their bed, they just began to kill them one by one. One by one, one by one. And they killed every single male that was in the land of Shechem. Pick up with verse number 26. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they defiled their sister. They took their sheep, their oxen, their asses, that which was in the city, that which was in the field, their wealth, their little ones, their wives. They took captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. They went in there and cleaned house. They went in there and paid those people back. Look at verse number 30. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I in my house. You see, Jacob now is feeling the walls close in. He has nowhere to go. He cannot go back to Laban. Laban would probably kill him. He doesn't trust Esau. Esau wanted to kill him, but God protected him there. Now he can't even live where he is because they've done all this wickedness. And Laban is looking around in the mess that he's in. He's thinking, my God, I'm in big trouble. I stink. And people are going to take advantage of me and are going to kill me. And Jacob is in a mess. And it's his own fault. Hold your hand in Genesis 35. Go to Genesis chapter 28. Let me show you why it was his own fault. If you would look at Genesis chapter number 28, this was the last time that Jacob was at Bethel. This was the time when he was running from Esau. This is the vision he had of the ladder. This is when Jesus Christ came and promised him those things. And this is what he had done where he met the Lord. And if you look at verse number 20, the Bible says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, by the way, let me just say this before I read this verse. If you have ever vowed a vow to God, you may have forgot that vow, but God never forgets our vow. Does God ask you to make him promises? Nope. Do you need to wake up and say, okay, God, I promise in this year not to do this, not to do this, and not to do this, and not to do this? Nowhere in the Bible does God ever ask anybody born of woman to make a promise. We can't keep our promises. God doesn't ask us to keep promises or to make them. But if you make a vow to God, you better understand that God never forgets that vow. You say, preacher, 30 years ago, I told God if I'd be a missionary, you better be a missionary. Well, I'm not a missionary right now. Well, as long as I have breath in my body, I better get about what I vowed God. Does God really hold it that seriously? My friend, one day when you stand before the Lord at that judgment seat of Christ, somewhere written in one of those books is, whatever your name is, said that I would be a missionary. And so I may be over here and I may be this and I may be as successful as I am, but if I vowed a vow to God, God never forgets a vow. Do you understand that? Amen or oh me? It's in the Bible. Okay, go back here now. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob made a vow back there. He said, now, God, if you'll get me out of this problem, God, if you'll deliver me from Esau, if you'll let me have bread, if you'll have me have nourishment, and you'll let me have clothing, and you'll bring me out of this in a peaceful manner, then you will be my God. And he built that altar there, and that's where he worshiped God. And so what did God do? God did exactly what Jacob asked him to do. God always keeps his promises. Always. And so God did that, and God delivered him out of all of that trouble. I mean, he should have been killed. Esau could have mutilated them, but God delivered him, and God kept his end of the deal. But what did Jacob do? Jacob went over there to Laban, and Jacob went over there for 20-some years, and Jacob never again worshiped or honored God. And you'll see later that Jacob allowed false gods to come in. And so Jacob said, God, if you'll do this, I'll serve you, and you'll be my God, and we'll have no problems. Well, God did what he did, but Jacob forgot what he said. And so now you come to this place in Genesis chapter number 35, and Jacob is a mess. His family is out of control. His house is out of order. Spiritually, he is absolutely out of sorts. I want to stop right there. I just want to make some application. I got a positive message, but I want to confront you a little bit, and I'll give you my message. I wonder today, as we approach 09 and we look back at 08, am I in a mess? Is my family out of control? Is my house out of order? Spiritually, am I out of sorts? There was a time, preacher, when I walk with God and God's power was on me and God's things. But you know, I look back over 08 and I look at my position. I'm in here now in 09. And pastor, to be honest with you, I kind of feel a little bit like Jacob. I'm just waiting for the next hammer to drop. I don't know where to go. I don't know who's my friend. I don't know who's my enemy. Everything I've tried is not done. To tell you the honest truth, preacher, I'm in a mess. You say, oh, pastor, back then, life was simple. Back then where Jacob was and back now in the beginning, I remember when life was easier and life was simpler and I was able to walk with the Lord, but now I'm a mess. Hear the preacher for just a second. Never since you've ever been born was life ever simpler enough for you to worship God than where you can't worship him right now. Do not confuse simplicity with confusion. Well, preacher, man, before I had kids, life was different. Preacher, before I made some decisions, life was different. Preacher, before, you know, the stock market, life was different. Preacher, before I got married, well, maybe that one you could use, but no other one that you could use. Preacher, I remember simpler days. I remember when I just got saved. And man, Christ was so real to me. I remember waking up and just wanting to know what God's word said. I remember that, man, if you asked me to dig a ditch at the church, I'd dig that ditch. I remember when they had something special, I'd volunteer. I remember when I would wake up and I would look at the trees and the sky and I would say, thank you, God, for all that you've done. I remember when I would have a need, I'd get on my knees and I'd begin to pray. You know, preacher, I just remember when life was simpler. If we were to go back, you would find that life wasn't simpler back then. Somehow we just confused life. And today, God's people, if we're not careful, we get so chaotic and so confused that things come in and we find ourselves not spending time with the Lord and not where we should, taking control, and we get down our own path and life becomes a mess. That's where Jacob is. He's entering the year in a mess. Say, pastor, that sounds pretty negative. What's the positive? Go to Genesis chapter 35 and look at verse number 1. Please read to me the very first two words of verse number 1. And out loud, please. Go ahead. And God. And God. No one was in more need of a clean start and a clear goal than Jacob. And God knew it. I do not find between verses 31 and chapter 35 anywhere where Jacob prayed to God. But I do find where God initiated upon Jacob a clean start. preacher, why would that be so important for me? Because I want you to be clean today. I want you to have a great year in 09. I want to have it personally. I want to have, and I'll talk to you about these goals in just a minute, but I want God to do great things in my own life. I want to be obedient to God. I want God's power. I want God's blessing. I want these kind of things. And as much as I want to be clean, did you know that God wants you to be clean? See, sometimes we think, well, sin's just got us so far. Jacob could look back and, I mean, my goodness gracious, how wrong was he in? And all that, the mess that he was in. And I'm sure in Jacob's mind, the devil was probably trying to tell him, you're too far gone. You've messed up. There's no road back. All you got is to go that way. You remember those days when God was good with you? It's over. There's no clean start for you, buddy. You stink. As a matter of fact, if you look at verse number 34, that's what he said. He said, I stink. Sometimes I am convinced that God's people are told by Satan that because of our past and our failures that we stink and we have no hope. If we stunk and we didn't have any hope, then why is 1 John 1:9 in the Bible? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to do what, church? Cleanse us from all righteousness. You may have stunk in 08, and the devil may tell you you stink now, but God said, I'll cleanse you from that and restore unto you the fellowship that we have. I don't know about you, but that makes me say amen. Why don't you ask Adam? Sin made Adam hide. Who went looking for who? Did Adam go looking for God or God come look for Adam? Why don't we ask Moses? Moses killed a man. So where did Moses go after he killed a man? Where did he go? Come on. And went to the backside of the desert. Who found who? Moses find God or God find Moses? God found Moses. Why don't we go talk to David? David slept with a woman, killed her husband, lied about it, sinned a great sin, caused the name of God to be blasphemed, and David went and hid himself in a lie. Who found who? Did David find God or God find David? Let's talk to Peter. Peter said, I don't know him. I don't know him. I am cursed. I don't know him. Leave me alone. But after the third time he denied the Lord, the Bible says that Peter's eyeball made contact with the Lord Jesus' eyeball. And he looked into the face of him who was dying for him and who he denied. And the Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly and he hid himself. My friend, who went looking for who? Did Peter go looking for God or God go looking for Peter? All right. Now, let's understand something. If you know Jesus Christ and you're in a mess today of your own fault and you're in a mess today and you look around and you think, oh, God, 09 is going to be horrible. I don't even want to go through it. I don't even remember what it was like to be right with God. My pastor, I don't even know what to do. Could I encourage you by saying this? God is looking for you to be right with him and willing to forgive you of that sin. See, we serve a great God, a great God, a great God. Pastor, where do I begin? If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, and life for you is just a mess, you begin by being born again. So, preacher, what's that mean? It means that I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Christian, where do you begin? Well, write some things down. I think Jacob gives us a good example. Number one, the Bible says, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make there an altar unto God that appearest unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Pastor, my life is a mess. Pastor, I look at 08 and spiritually I wasn't where I should have been in 09. I'm not excited about 09. I don't, people are all around me. I got problems everywhere. I don't know. I feel like I'm drowning. What do I do? Well, you do exactly what Jacob did. First off, you humble yourself. Humble yourself. You see, God told Jacob to go back to the previous spot in his life where his weakness was revealed. Now, we're Americans. Well, most of us are Americans. I guess we have some that aren't citizens of America in here. But we're Americans. We don't want to be weak. We hate to be weak. Don't call us weak. Do I have any World War II veterans in here? Any World War II veterans? You fought in World War II? Brother Jim did. Other ones? Brother Jim and Brother Lewis, strong. I know enough about the American military today to know that you don't want to face America's military might. You don't want to face what we have. We are Americans. We bow to nobody. We humble to nobody. We negotiate to nobody. We are proud that we are, and we'll fight you until we die, but we're not going to surrender ourselves. And I'm glad I live in a country like that. But my friend, understand something spiritually. Spiritually speaking, the little song has it right. He is strong, but I am weak. Weak. Here's Jacob. Jacob was the pathetic picture of weakness, and here he is in this pathetic picture of weakness, trying to control and dictate his own life. And so for 20 years, he has connived and sneaked and lied and stolen and manipulated and tried to drive. Now his family is completely, bless you, by the way, his family is completely out of control. His house is totally out of order. And his spiritual life is completely out of sorts, all because he tried to present in his weakness strength. Sometimes in our lives, we think we're strong enough to be without God, and we're strong enough to be without God's word, and we're strong enough to be without God's will, and we're strong enough to be without God's power. And so in our weakness, we pretend to be strong. And so we get the ball, and we try to make headway where we're going, and we almost all the time run ourselves right into a mess. Jacob, go back. Look at verse number 1. To where you fled from Esau. Oh, Jacob didn't like that. He didn't want to go back. He didn't want to confront his weakness. He didn't want to be reminded of that. But God said, go back to when you were weak, and you'll know my strength. Pastor, how do weak people act? How do weak people act? What do you mean when you say you want us to go back to being weak? Well, there was a time in your life when you got saved, when you depended upon God. Do you remember that? Do you depend upon God today? Of course I do, preacher. I depend upon God. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. When's the last time you prayed for anything outside of your food? When's the last time that you put tithe? Oh, preacher, don't get on money. When's the last time I gave God? Well, God. When's the last time I got up early in the morning when it was dark and had to bury my face in the ground somewhere and beg God to do something for me? You see, we don't depend upon God, and I'm not crushing you for that statement. We're Americans. We got used to have six, eight houses. Now we got 3 or 4 houses. We got closets full of food and closets full of clothes. There's nothing wrong with those things. God said I'd open the window and pour you out a blessing, but what we've done is we've shifted our dependence upon the eternal, all-powerful, living God. So now I got it, God, and I don't need you anymore. And so we've run ourselves into a mess. You see, weakness depends upon God. Weakness understands and humbling myself. Matter of fact, and Peter told us that if we humble ourselves, that God would do what with us? Exalt us in due season. I like what 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, if you're a child of God, would you say amen? Let's do it this way. If you're a child of God, raise your hand so I know that you know, okay? Now, if you're a child of God, that means you've been born again, all right? So you would be called by the name of Jesus Christ. You're not called by the name of Satan. You've been saved. You know God. So the Bible says, if my people, sorry about that, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Preacher, 08 was a mess for me. I'm not excited at all about 09. I'm in a mess right now, and I look around and I'm drowning. Then humble yourself and become weak and let the strength of God lift you up and mount you up like wings on eagles. That's where it is. But see, can I just say something? I'm going to give you my opinion. I don't do this often, but I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm going to even come down from up on here. Here's my opinion. And now I'm going to go right back to what I don't believe is God's opinion. My opinion is that if we're ever going to see revival in America, we've got to lose all we have. We've got to lose everything we have. Preacher, why would you say that? Why would you say that? That's so pessimistic. Because we got confused. And I mean this in the Church of America. If we're going to pray for revival and we're ever going to be as powerful as what God wants us to be, if we're ever going to, we have to lose something. God has to do something to bring us to a position where we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, and I submit myself to Him. Do I like that? I don't necessarily like that. Do I wish it was different? I do wish it was different. But my friends, Jacob got to a place where he was his own God. And I think the church has got to a place now where we have so much that we have need of nothing. And because we have need of nothing, we don't know what it is to depend upon God. And so now we've got, and we've driven our lives. And here's the funny thing. The funny thing is we don't like that. And that scares us, and that intimidates us, and that eats at our pride and eats at our success. But we get over here, and our families are out of control, and our house is out of order, and spiritually we're a mess, and we don't like this either, but we don't turn. Let me give you three things about humility. Write them down, and I'll show them to you. Humility involves three things. It involves repentance. Look at verse number one. Go up. Turn from the way you're going. That's repentance. Look at verse number one. When you get to Bethel, dwell there. That's submission. Repent and submit. Look at verse number one. Make there an altar unto God. You see, if I'm going to humble myself under the mighty hand of God, it demands repentance, submission, and obedience. You see, if I'm going to have a clean start, and if I want to really know God, and I really want to serve God, and I really want what God has for me, then I've got to humble myself. I've got to repent from the way I'm going if I'm going the wrong way. I've got to submit myself to the total control of God, and then I've got to be obedient to what God tells me to do, and that brings to me a clean start. Now, if I don't want a clean start, then forget all of those things. But I promise you this, there's nothing better than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. So we're in trouble as a nation in spirituality, and I hope it ain't that way at Plantation Baptist Church. But unless the American church loses everything and is driven underground like China, we will never repent, and we will never submit, and we will never be obedient. We don't have to, because we have all of our stuff. So now if we're going to take that mindset as a nation, let it not be the mindset of Plantation Baptist Church. Let us say, forget all that stuff. We would rather have Jesus Christ. See, oh God, think. Pastor, do I need to go out and give everything I have away and just become a pauper? Nope. But we need to organize ourselves, right? You see, the first thing I do, where do I begin if I want a clean start? I humble myself, I repent, I submit, I obey. Number two, I honor God. So I only got 2 points to this message. I honor God. Look at verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange what? Okay, now keep that word gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto, what's that name? Okay, now somebody tell me the difference between those two gods. One is what and one's not. One's capitalized and one isn't capitalized. One refers to false gods with the small g, and the big G refers to the true God. You see, Jacob's saying here that if we're going to go up here and we're going to honor the true God, if I want a clean start in my life and a clean start for 09, which God wants me to have, and God pursues me, God lets you hear this message, God has brought you to a point to think about this, God is putting this in front of your face, it's the word of God. If I want a clean start, I've got to humble myself, I've got to repent of my error, I've got to submit, and I've got to be obedient. But then I've got to honor the true and living God. By the way, there's only one true and living God, and His name is Jesus. Amen or oh me? He's the true and living God. So all the other gods, small g's, I've got to put away. Now, this is a phenomenal thought here. Where in the world did these strange gods come from? Where did these strange gods come from that Jacob's wrestling with? He tells his family, put away the strange gods. For sake of time, I won't take you there, but if you were to write Genesis chapter 31, verse number 19 down, you will find that Rachel brought these images from Laban. And so when Jacob and Rachel left, Rachel took the strange gods of her father and the strange gods there, and she hid them in her clothes and hid them in her stuff, and she brought them on the journey. Here's her husband. Now get this. This is why husband and wife, there better be unity in what God we serve. Her husband is going forward, serving at that time the true God. Rachel says, oh, let me bring my gods too. And so she gets her gods, and then she gets over to her tent, and here's Jacob. He's worshiping the true God, and she's hiding her stuff. And Laban over here, he realizes, oh my goodness, my gods are gone. So if you study that and read that passage, they come and they confront him, and Jacob says, we don't have your gods. We don't have them at all. And Rachel sits on the gods. By the way, that's what you ought to do. You just sit on. That's what it deserved to do. She sits on the gods, and they look everywhere and everywhere and everywhere, and they can't find, because she's sitting and hiding the gods. Preacher, why is that such a big deal? Okay? If you go to verse number 2, the sons begin to worship those strange gods. Jacob knew they were there, but it was never a known thing. It was a secret thing. It was a private thing. They were hidden, kept out of the way, but they were there. Now understand, preacher, if you want a clean start with God, I humble myself, I repent, I submit, and I obey, but I put away the strange gods. What does that mean? That means the little things that are hidden in my heart, the little sins that are there, I repent and seek and put those things away, and I turn from them. Well, Pastor, nobody knows the little secret things of my life, and nobody knows the things that are hidden in our family. We just don't talk about them. Well, if you don't talk about them, they will raise their nasty head and create you big problems. You see, God is able to see and knows even our hidden things. And so here they were. They had these strange gods, and yeah, they were hidden, but they didn't stay hidden. They began to manifest themselves, and now they're worshiping these strange gods, and they got to be put away. Go down, look at verse number, go back to that earring verse, verse number 4. Preacher, you're going to preach against earrings? No. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings. Why would they do that? Well, if I could take you to Hosea chapter 2, which is in the back of the Old Testament. Let me read this verse to you. Hosea chapter 2. Brother, I don't have my tab Bible. I got a Hosea, Joel, Amos. Okay, here we go. Hosea chapter 2. And listen to this verse. God says, I will visit upon her, that's Israel, the days of Balaam. That's that wicked situation. Wherein she burned incense to them and decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me. You see, they took the nation of Israel. They would take those earrings, which were a symbol of sensuality, and they were a symbol of that, and they would deck themselves, and they were serving those false gods. And so now they had taken these little earrings, and they were wearing them everywhere, and it was a symbol of worldliness. And Jacob said, No. We're a mess because of worldliness. We need a clean start. Give me your earrings. And he took those earrings. Now look, go back to Genesis chapter 35 and look at verse number 4. He didn't try to convert them to be spiritual. He didn't turn them into Christian things. Oh, I could preach a long time on that, but I won't. I almost want to, but I won't. And all the other earrings which were in their ears, Jacob hid them. What's he saying there? He's saying he didn't take that things that were used to worship Satan and those false gods and kind of convert them and make them so now they could worship the true God. He buried them and did away with them. Preacher, what are you driving at? If I want a clean start, and God wants me to have a clean start, and if I want a clean start, I put away those hidden secret things that I'm worshiping, those things in the closet, those things that are in secret, those things nobody knows about, and I turn from worldliness, and I separate myself from worldliness. That doesn't mean I don't have some things, but I don't take the things of Satan and try to hold on to them so I can have them and serve the Lord. There's a separation between that. That brings me to a position of a clean start. Look at the last thing. How do I have that? Well, you go up here to verse number 3, and he says, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar under God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the, what's your Bible say? Way which I went. So if I honor God, how do I honor God? I put away the strange gods. I put away worldliness, and I walk in the way of righteousness. I don't have time to give this to you, but write Ephesians chapter 4, verses 19 to 32 down. You ought to study that. Could I take the time to say one thing about this and we're done? Would you go to verse number 2? In verse number 2, God initiates this clean start with Jacob. Jacob initiates the clean start with his what? Household. Could I talk to household leaders for a minute? Could I talk to household leaders for a minute? If you're married, the Bible teaches that the husband is the prophet and the priest of that home. Preacher, I don't appreciate that. Well, that's what the Bible says. Which means, husband, you're the leader of your home. Understand something. Tom? Yes, sir, Lord. Tom, on July 2nd, 1994, you married Beverly Arlene Theaker. I did, sir. Tom, when you married her, you became the prophet and priest of that home. Tom, on March 30th, 1998, Madison was born. On some other days, three other kids were born. I remember more, I don't remember the day. Tom, you were to be Jesus Christ in that home. Lord, I was to be Jesus. Remember now, when you see this, he'll be seated in all his glory. Holy, holy, holy. I was to be Christ in the home. I know. Tom, everything your home ever did is right here. Oh, Lord. Don't look at that. I have to look at that. Lord, don't look at that. Tom, here's everything you led your home to do. It's going to pass through that fire. Whatever comes out on the other side, I'll be rewarded for. Whatever is incinerated, it's called wood, hay, and stubble. Oh, God, don't put it through the fire. God, don't put it through the fire. You know why the Bible says Jesus shall wipe away all tears? If you don't think there's tears in heaven, you need to read your Bible. There'll be tears when you stand there. He wipes them away later. All that, oh God, oh God, oh God, don't put it through the fire. I am responsible as the priest and prophet of my home. Jacob said, boys, boys, we gotta get right. We gotta go back. We gotta repent. We gotta submit. We gotta obey. Give me all that worldly stuff. Stop worshiping those false gods. Come with me. Household leader. Preacher, I'm not married. My husband was a fool and he left me and I got these kids. You're the household leader. But I'm just a woman and I don't know a lot. You're the household leader. Well, Pastor, it's just not fair. You're the household leader. Jesus is the same to you. He's the same to me as he is to any divorced person. Say, preacher, do you look down on divorced people? No, no. Preacher, are divorced people second-class citizens? I'm in Christ. If you're in Christ, there's no such thing as a second-class citizen. You're the household leader. Jacob stood up and said, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. It's my fault. Let's go get right. Let's go get right. Preacher, I've messed up royally. All the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. He's a household leader. Clean start. That's what I want in my life for 09. Clean start. I need to humble myself. Repent, submit, obey. Honor God by putting away the strange gods, those secret things in our lives. Step away from worldliness. Walk in his ways. And then I need three goals. Here's my three goals. I wrote them down. Verse number 5, I think, teaches that a good, clear goal is a godly journey. Look at verse number 5. And they journeyed. It was a godly journey. I want 09 to be a godly journey. I want 09 to be a godly journey. We're not guaranteed the end of 09, but I want it to be a godly journey. Verse number 5 teaches that they had God's power on them. Oh, I want God's power. Verse number 9 teaches that they had God's blessing. There's no greater goals than a godly journey, God's power, and God's blessing. A clean start and clear goals. And God's people said, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Pastor, is God disappointed with me? Pastor, how can God not be disappointed with me? I just feel like he won't accept me. I just feel like I can't go to him. I just feel like I've failed so much. Pastor, well, isn't God sick of all that, my friend? If you knew the heart of God, you would know that God is like any father or mother. He loves his children. He wants us to be right with him. He initiates that. Don't let that liar, the devil, tell you that God doesn't want you. Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ shed his blood for you. Christian, you may be in a mess, but God is seeking for you to be right. Pastor, how could he love me that much? I don't know. I don't know. Songwriter said, if we took a pen and tried to fill the ocean with ink, we could not describe the love of God. Clean start. What do I need to do, Pastor? I want a clean start. I remember a time in my life when I got saved. And I remember a time when I prayed. I depended upon God. I remember when God moved miraculously. Well, I humble myself. And I repent. And I submit. And I obey. And then I honor God. That means I dig out those secret things. Check myself from worldliness. And I walk in his way. Pastor, I don't even have any direction. Well, some good direction, some good goals would be that I'd have a godly journey in 09, that God would be glorified in my life, that I'd have God's power on my life, that people would know that I serve him, that he'd answer my prayer, and that God would bless me. Oh, I want to be blessed by God. I want you to have that. Pastor, I need a clean start. Thank you for reminding me that God loved me. Thank you for reminding me that God will give me a clean start. Pastor, pray for me. I want to be right with God. If you'll lift your hand, I won't embarrass you, but I'll pray for you. Pastor, I need a clean start. Pray for me. God bless you. New. New. God bless you. New. God bless you. In the back. God bless you. Down front. To my left. God bless you. Somebody else. Pastor, I need a clean start. Clean start. I wonder today you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never been saved. Well, your clean start begins with being born again. Pastor, I don't know what's going on, but I sense a desire to know Jesus Christ. Pastor, don't embarrass me, but pray for me. I need to be saved. If you lift your hand, I'll just say, God bless you, but I'll see you if you want to be saved. Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me, Pastor. I need to be saved. Okay. Okay. Here's what I'd like to do. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing. Sing what number, Brother Gary? 331? 331. We're going to open the altar. If you need a clean start today, you want 09 to be better, if you want God to be glorified, I'm just going to ask you to come. Fall on your face. Pray. Tell God, God, I'm humbling myself, and I surrender myself to you. If you need to be saved, Brother Jay will be standing right here. Tell him I'd like to be saved. Stand if you would. Page number 331. Heavenly Father, God, have your way. God, speak to us. Give courage. Many need to come and pray. Many need to be saved. I pray, God, you'd have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.